Hi, Pastor Woods, and I would like to invite you to come tomorrow to celebrate the day of Pentecost with us at the First Baptist Church here in Holbrook, Arizona. And the services start at Sunday School's 9:45, morning worship's at 11 o'clock, and you certainly be welcome. I'm going to be talking today about the old account was settled long ago. It's a kind of a drama type thing I created years ago. And I found it, and I thought, you know, that'd be kind of fun to do again, so I hope you'll put up with that. Ezekiel 18:4, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die." The big doors opened with an unnerving clang that echoed through the whole auditorium. It was so very frightening. I could feel my heart racing, and I thought it would beat right out of my chest. My blood felt like it was running cold. I'd been summoned to appear in court. There was a case pending, a case against mankind, and I was the defendant. I can't remember ever being so frightened before. I moved farther into the courtroom. Everything was immense. The huge bench where the judge would soon take his place was massive. The witness stand where evidence would be offered either for me or against me. To the right was the jury box, soon to fill with those who would be hearing my case. Curious people were filtering in and finding seats reserved for the audience. The heavy doors now clanged shut behind me, echoing, reverberating sound through the huge room. Everything seemed so final. When will I get out of here? What is going to happen to me? I felt so alone, nervous, helpless, and hopeless. I fought panic. I thought back over my life, and I thought, well, I'd lived a decent life by the world's standards. But now it has come to the end, and my life was about to be reviewed. Were there things that would bring guilty verdict to me? I wished I'd taken more care about decisions that I'd made during the crucial times of my life. Actually, all my decisions now seem to be crucial. I had no idea I'd be judged for things that I'd said, for attitudes I'd entertained, how I used my time, and places I'd gone. Everything had been recorded. Things I considered flippant and unimportant were more important than I'd ever realized they would be. I remembered the lies that I'd told and times I cheated people and indecent thoughts that had occupied my mind, places I'd gone to and shows I'd watched that I knew Jesus would not have watched with me. How I'd been rude and judgmental to people. Oh, if I could only take some of those, if I could only take all those things back. Ezekiel 18:4 again says, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sins shall die." My fearful thoughts were interrupted when I was ordered to take a seat at the defense table. I nervously looked around. There was the prosecutor. He was a villainous-looking person who brought even more terror to my mind. Was it my imagination, or was he snarling as he stared at me? He was the evilest person I have ever seen. I nervously sat down on the edge of my chair. My defense lawyer was to my left. He was a kind, gentle man who somehow seemed very familiar to me. The judge's chamber's door opened, and the presiding judge appeared in full flowing robes, and he was awesome. I'd never seen anyone so majestic. I watched as he moved to the bench, and I could not take my eyes off of him. Who is this magnificent person, anyhow? There was what appeared to be a very bright glow around him that seemed so unearthly. The brightness hurt my eyes. I was reminded of the story of Moses seeing God's Shekinah glory, and now I recognized it was Almighty God. God was the judge. I knew he could see right through me. I'd never be able to say anything but the truth to him. He looked my direction. His eyes were so piercing. I knew he could look right into my very soul. Nothing would be hidden from him. Everything would be an open book. Psalms 11, 4 through 7 says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes, behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteousness, but the wicked and the one who loves violence his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain cold, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright." Oh my, he sat down behind the massive desk and said, "Let us begin." The prosecutor stood. It was Satan, the accuser of the brethren. No wonder he was such an evil-looking, ugly thing. Revelation 12:10 says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come, for his accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down.'" He said, "My name is Lucifer, and I am here to show you why this man belongs in hell." He proceeded to tell about the lies I'd told, things I'd stolen, and things and times when I'd cheated others. And Satan told all horrible perversions that were once in my life. And the more he spoke, the more ashamed I was, the more I sank down in my seat. Tears of shame and remorse stained my cheeks. Satan remembered everything. I was so embarrassed and ashamed that I couldn't look at anyone, not even my own lawyer. The devil told of sins that I'd completely forgotten about. I was so mad at Satan for exposing all these things about me. I was just as upset with my defense attorney, who just sat there silently, not objecting or offering any kind of defense for me. I knew I was guilty of all these things, but there was good in my life too. I mean, couldn't those things, those good deeds, at least equal out the harm that I'd done? Shouldn't my good deeds outweigh my bad ones? Satan finished with a flurry, saying, "This man belongs in hell. He's guilty of all that I've charged him with, and there's not a person who can prove otherwise. Justice will finally be served this day with this soul that's going to be lost." Satan climaxed his argument by reminding God of what he said in Ezekiel 18:4. He said, "God, you said, 'Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die.'" And he especially emphasized the part that said, "The soul who sins shall die." He looked over at me with an awful scowl. Satan then sat down smugly, feeling that he had won his case. God could not go against his own word. Finally, it was my defense lawyer's turn to speak. He asked if he could approach the bench. The judge allowed him to come. The judge allowed this over the strong objection of Satan and beckoned him to come forward. As he walked towards the judge, I saw him in his full splendor and majesty. He, my goodness, he was such a majestic person too. And suddenly I knew why he seemed so familiar. This was Jesus. Jesus was representing me, my Lord and my Savior. He stopped at the bench and spoke softly to the judge. "Hi, Dad," he said. He then turned to address the court. He began, "Satan was right in saying this man had sinned. I won't deny his allegation, and yes, the wages of sin is death, and because this man sinned, he deserves to be punished." Jesus took a deep breath and turned to his Father with outstretched, nail-scarred hands and said, "However, I died on the cross and rose again 3 days later to satisfy those wages of sin. I paid the awful price with my own blood so that this man might be forgiven, have grace and eternal life when he repented of his sin and accepted me as his Savior." He did accept me as his Savior, so he is mine. And I've blotted out all those sins, never to remember them against them anymore. He followed the instructions of my servant John, who said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I have removed his sins as far as the east is from the west, and I will never remember them or hold them against him. So that means nothing to these court proceedings. Psalm 103, 12 through 14, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Jesus continued, his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and neither Satan nor his demonic forces can snatch him away from me as long as he follows me and hears my voice and keeps my commandments. John 10:27-30, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand, and I and my Father are one. Because he is a free moral agent, and still has the power of choice, he could have decided to quit following me, but he did not. He remained faithful and has kept his commitment to me. Well, Satan practically screamed, do you mean that this man isn't to be given the justice he deserves, but instead is given mercy? He sinned. Doesn't that demand the second death penalty? Shouldn't he go to hell? God answered, he has been justified and cleansed by the precious blood of my Son, Jesus, who never sinned, who is the only one who could die a substitute for sinful men. This defendant had remorse for his sins and has confessed them to me and has repented of his sin. Now Jesus and I have adopted him into our family. He can look forward to an eternal life in my heaven. As Jesus sat down, he quietly paused, looked at his father, and replied, nothing else needs to be done. I've done it all. I rest my case. The judge lifted his mighty gavel and slammed it down and said, this man has been redeemed from the penalty of sin and therefore is free from the penalty of sin. The penalty has already been paid in full. Case dismissed. As Jesus led me out of the courtroom, Satan was ranting and raving and cursing, and he said, I won't give up. I'll win the next one. I asked Jesus, have you ever lost a case? Jesus Christ smiled and said, everyone that's come to me and asked me to represent them has received the same verdict as you did, paid in full. There's no court cost involved. Jesus paid the total price on the cross. I want to tell you how God works to transform sinners. There was a street meeting going on, and a man was giving his testimony, and he was sharing how Christ had changed his life and the joy he was having because of his sins were forgiven. A heckler was in the crowd scoffing and jeering at the man as he spoke. He was saying, get real. You're a fake. It's your imagination. You're just dreaming. As he continued to jeer and make fun, he felt someone tugging at his coat. He looked down and saw a little girl standing there. She said, mister, that man talking is my daddy. God has changed him, and you shouldn't jeer at him. He used to come home drunk. Mommy and I went hungry because he spent the money he earned on alcohol and gambling. He would come in late and be mad and beat my mommy and hurt me. I didn't have these nice clothes to wear or shoes to put on. Mommy took in ironing to earn money for us to eat. Now, mister, if Daddy found her money, he would take it away from her and waste it. Mommy and I lived in constant fear of what he would do to us. Then one day Daddy heard about Jesus and he accepted Jesus as his Savior, and everything changed. See that lady over there in the nice blue dress? That's my mommy. Look how she's smiling and happy now. She's no longer afraid of Daddy. Mister, if my daddy is just dreaming like you say, please don't wake him up. You know, there are two old hymns that express what I would like to say to you today. One is, "The old account was settled long ago." The other says it all. It's real. I know it's real. I don't want to torture you, but I want to express my testimony with the first one. "The old account was settled long ago." There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. The old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle. I settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. When in that happy home, my Savior's home above, I'll sing redemption's story and praise him for his love. I'll not forget that book with pages white as snow, because I came and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away when the old account was settled long ago. O sinner, trust the Lord, be cleansed of all your sin, for thus he hath provided for you to enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, up there you'll not regret it. You settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he takes my sin away when the old account was settled long ago. Well, that's my testimony. How about you? Are your sins covered by the blood of Jesus Christ? Is your name written in the book of life? Have you been washed in the blood long time ago? If not, you can care for it right now today. I'd like to make a little program note here. Today I used some creative license to illustrate a point. Christians are not going to be judged at the final judgment day. We'll be awarded or reprimanded at the marriage feast of the Lamb when God comes in the rapture to take us home. There will be, however, a final judgment day for those who do not belong to Christ and have rejected the opportunity to accept his gift of salvation. Unredeemed sinners will stand before God to give an accounting of their sinful lives. The period of grace will be over at that time. Their sentence will not be commuted. they will face an eternity in hell. If you want to avoid the final judgment in hell, you need to care for that right now today in this lifetime by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. A lot of people don't understand. What's that all about? What difference it makes Jesus died on a cross? Well, let me tell you what difference it makes. Jesus, who is God, stepped into history to take on the form of man because you and I were so lost in sin and were on our way to hell, there was not a thing we could do about it. It took somebody that had never sinned, somebody that was perfect, that would shed their blood for the punishment that all of us are deserving. And Jesus Christ loved us so much that he took your place on the cross. Doesn't that matter to you? Don't you think that deserves you to ask him to forgive your sins and that you accept him as your Savior and live for him? Let's pray. Dear Father, I would pray that you help everyone that's hearing my voice today to know they need to accept Jesus as their Savior. If they've not done it yet, let this be the day that they confess their sins, because you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let there be repentance, a change in their life, that they will turn 180 degrees around and start living for Jesus Christ. I ask this in your precious name. Amen. If you want to get a hold of me, you know the routine. My email address or Gmail address is lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. Again, because I get so much mail there, if I miss answering you, try again, or else use my telephone number, 623-845-2741. That can be used either to call me direct or to text me. I will acknowledge what you are asking about. If you need prayer, I will pray with you. Or if you want to write to me, it's Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. God bless you. I hope that you really take to heart the fact that Jesus Christ has provided salvation for you too, and that you have a home in heaven if you will claim it. God bless. Goodbye.